the future self has perspective on your life, what would they do if you're reflecting back on your life at 90 years old? What advice would they tell you in this moment? And usually because they have perspective, it would be like, relax, everything's going to be okay. Okay, just keep your head on straight and keep going. And when times get really adverse and there's a lot of challenges, I just always think this is where most people quit and this is why most people don't win.
I'm Michael Chernow, and this is the Creatures of Habit podcast. Our habits will make us or break us. It's just that simple. I've lived on both sides of the tracks and have learned that the decisions we make on a consistent basis truly define who we are as human beings. On this show, I will be interviewing some of the most inspiring, motivating, and high-performing humans I've encountered to share their daily habits, routines, and rituals that help them stay on top of their game and ultimately happy. So sit back, relax, and pay attention, because what you hear over the next 30 to 45 minutes could potentially change your life. Let's go. What up, family? Welcome back to the Creatures of Habit podcast. I am honestly uncertain as to what episode this is, but I'm going to try to start telling you what number episode this is, because once you break 100, I think that's a good sign that you're consistent. But I have a really awesome guest on the show today. His name is Kaylor Betts. He's a podcaster. He's got an unbelievably successful podcast called Awaken Winning. He is also a coach. He coaches all sorts of people on waking the fuck up. Waking the fuck up and getting their shit together and starting to live life in a more meaningful way. One thing that I want to talk to him about is, you know, he really tries to help people be better in the arenas of mind, body, home, which I'm interested in. I'm interested in the home piece and business. So we're going to talk about a lot of things. He's interviewed a lot of people. He's obviously very comfortable on a podcast because he's got his own. It's very successful. So without further ado, I'm very stoked to introduce you to the one, the only, very handsome, Kaylor Betts.
Dude, that wasn't scripted. Like, that's going to be a lot to live up to. Holy shit, man. That was good.
You know, I had a TV show for 2 years, and okay. I honestly think because I hosted a TV show for 2 years, I was forced to do these like 5 to 10 minute walk and talk intros for the restaurants that we were going to go into, and I'm like able to read something and like just retain it.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. The intro stuff, I enjoy. But dude, welcome. Welcome to New York. First time in New York City.
It's a wild place, man. It's been very interesting, you know. Actually, the only place I've been on the East Coast is Boston. And Boston isn't even comparable to this. Boston is like just, it's so much more down to earth than New York.
Well,
is that
an accurate assessment? No, because here's the deal. First of all, I'm born and raised in New York City again.
Okay.
You happen to be in Times Square right now.
Of course, yeah.
And you're staying in Times Square. Had you asked me where to stay, I would put you further from – but you're right. There's no doubt. Boston is way more down to earth.
Down to earth is subjective, right? So I'm talking about down to earth as in it's just – it's a little less hustle and bustle. Not that isn't any of that in Boston, but it's just like, man, it's a fucking wild place, man. Like, people love to honk their horns here and everyone seems like they're in a rush.
Boston is definitely more cozy.
Yeah.
It's more cozy.
Yeah, yeah.
It's got like a, you know, I think, yeah, Boston's got its own thing that I really do appreciate. Yeah. There's like richness in that culture,
yeah.
Right? New York there's definitely richness in the culture. It's hard to find that culture in Manhattan. If you go out to the boroughs, you definitely see that community culture component a little bit more, a little deeper.
Yeah.
Manhattan is a transient spot, man. People are coming here to win, right?
Yeah,
and when 100%. You're coming to win, like, it's just, you know.
And you know what I like? That it's inspiring. That's one of the reasons why I like to go to the States a lot, is because when I go to Miami, when I go to Vegas, when I go to Orange County, when I come to New York already, it's just inspiring, man. Like, everyone around you is doing something with their life. They're forced to, man. How else could you live here, right?
You know, when I was a kid, so I grew up in Manhattan, and I tell this story. Actually, I probably don't tell the story a lot, but I've told this story before. When I was a kid, I spent a lot of time in downtown New York. And I was exposed to lots of crazy shit as a kid. But something that I used to do to sort of zone out and get, you know, at the time, I don't really actually think I was doing it to sort of gain inspiration. But ultimately, the byproduct of what I was doing was being inspired by watching human beings. So there's a restaurant called Balthazar, which you should definitely go to, especially your mom's in town. Like, you got to go to Balthazar. It's on Spring and Crosby,
okay.
which is like right in the heart of Soho. And it's an iconic New York City restaurant. And I'm not sure if they're still out there. I would imagine they are. But forever, they just had these benches in front of Balthazar Restaurant. And it's a wide storefront. It wraps the corner. But on Spring Street, there was always benches in front of the restaurant. And I used to go down there. I would smoke a ton of weed and as a teenager. And I would go down to Balthazar. I'd put on music. And I'd just sit on the benches. And you see the most beautiful women on the planet. Mm. You see the coolest dudes walking down the street.
Yeah.
It's fashion epicenter. It is like Spring between Broadway and Lafayette, or Spring really between Broadway and Bowery. If you want to get a dose of New York City, of like what, like the cultural component of New York City in the world of entertainment, fashion, lifestyle, sit on the benches in front of Balthazar Restaurant for 2 hours and just people watch. It's fucking awesome.
So what I hear you saying is that there is the hustle and bustle, there's the inspiration, there's the go-getter type of energy, but then there's also places to escape to, because I need a place to compose my energy. I need restorative energy as well too. So what I hear you saying is go to the outskirts, go to other places, and there is that, a little more open, less hustle and bustle. And
yeah, there's definitely like right over the bridge in Brooklyn, for instance. Okay. I mean, there's still going to be that New York City edge to it, because it's just hard to escape that. Yeah. Even if you go deep out into certain areas, you're going to feel it in different ways. Mm-hmm. It's not necessary. It's, you know, like if you went to go to like a blue collar area in, you know, Queens or, you know, you're going to feel like that energy, that sort of tough guy energy. But New York City is electrifying. No matter where you are, it's an electrifying place.
Yeah.
Manhattan is, you know, like it just keeps you on the edge of your seat.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it just does.
If someone has 24 hours in New York, what are you telling them to do? Like, what's the main attraction? Selfishly, I'm asking this, obviously, because
Me, it's literally walking everywhere.
Yeah.
So forget the train. Don't take the train. Walk everywhere. You know, you'll get 30,000, 40,000 steps if you do it, and eat a lot of food.
Yeah.
Because New York City is sort of the epicenter, like globally, right? Like you'll find some of the best cuisine from international chefs in New York City that have literally left their, you know, hometown to come here and open a restaurant and share their flavors and their styles of cooking and their taste with New Yorkers.
But I've seen you with your shirt off. You got like 5% body fat. How do you do it, man?
Well, you know, I believe in this 80-20 rule.
Oh shit. Okay, we're gonna talk about that.
80% of the time, man, I'm on it. Like super dialed. Everything is prepped. I don't think about breakfast, lunch, or dinner. I know exactly what I'm eating. And then 20% of the time, I live my life.
I can't wait to talk about this. Because I'm more so like 99 and 1.
Really?
Yeah.
So 99% you're dialed and 1% you let yourself go.
Yeah. But I have my own reasons for that that we can get into.
Yeah, so let's dive in. First, I want to kick off with what this podcast is sort of here for. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, I get to sit down with people like you and learn about your habits, rituals, and routines. Typically for me, starting out my day with foundation and structure is essential for my happiness. It sets me off on the right foot, and I never miss a morning routine. So I'd love to ask you, do you have one?
I do. And it's really interesting. As the years go on, my morning routine gets continuously smaller and smaller. And I think where that comes from is, so one of the things I'm really big on is questioning everything that you do, okay? And one of the things, so there's a great quote, I say it all the time. People who listen to my podcast are probably annoyed by now, but it's belief is the enemy of knowing. Okay, belief is the enemy of knowing. And what I get out of that quote is that sometimes we attach so tightly to our beliefs because we've been conditioned to believe them from the government, school systems, our parents, you know, the Western medical establishment, pharmaceutical companies, whatever it is, marketing corporations, we've been so conditioned to believe these things that we don't even take the time to question whether or not we should do them or not, or incorporate them into our lives, or if they serve us, okay? And how I'm going to bring that back to the morning routine is I believe that we are very much being conditioned right now that you need this 3-hour morning routine, and that's the key to success, right? And I think that this is very individual, okay? I think everyone's going to be served in different ways by doing different things. But I think for me, I fell for that conditioning of believing that I need to have a 3-hour morning routine or a 2-hour morning routine, and that's how I'm going to become successful. And the more and more that I go on, I just realized for me, I want to wake up, I want to put myself in a beautiful state. Sure, I want to do some biohacking things. Like I have a cold shower every morning, or if I have access to cold water, because sometimes I go to California and those showers don't get too hot, too cold. And if I'm not by a nice bath or whatever, but yeah, I put myself in a beautiful state and then I get my most...
How do you do that?
Okay. So I wake up, get myself a glass. Like you want to know the details.
I want to know the whole thing.
I get up. The first thing I do is I check my phone. Okay. And that surprises a lot of people. It's not to check Instagram. I want to give you the actual step-by-step. It's not because I check Instagram. It's that I want to make sure that my family's okay. This might sound ridiculous to some people, but it sets my mind at ease. I want to make sure my family's okay, make sure my company isn't falling apart, and just check my messages, okay? Takes a couple minutes. Then, and I know some people aren't going to like that, but that's just what I do. Then I use my Luminette 3. Do you know about these Luminette 3 glasses?
I have one, and honestly, I've not used it.
It's unbelievable.
Is it?
Yeah. I just told my team, I'm like, reach out to them. I want them to be a sponsor of my show. So if anyone's listening from Luminette, hit me up, because they're incredible. Morning light is something that, you know, a lot of people are talking about right now. Dr. Andy Huberman talks a lot about it. Tim Ferriss was talking about it for a long time. It's really beneficial. Just, you know, gets your biological clock and your circadian rhythm regulated.
Can you just tell us real quick before you move on to morning light what Luminette is?
Yeah, Luminette 3 are their glasses. And you turn them on, super easy. You turn them on and it gets light in your eyes, right? And it mimics the sun to get light in your eyes, which essentially in layman's terms, you know, because I won't get into the science, and not that I know all of the science, I know a good amount of it, but essentially it tells your body and your psychology and your nervous system that it's time to be awake. And not only that, but then it starts that clock of, I think it's 16 hours later, from when you get morning light, your body is now going to produce more melatonin, okay, to go to sleep. So it helps your sleep later on. So I wear them 20 minutes. I brush my teeth with, it's Revitin, okay? Dr. Jerry Curatola, okay? He's a biological dentist. He's actually, I believe, in the Hamptons, which is close to here. He's the real deal. And that's his toothpaste. It's the only toothpaste that's been scientifically proven to not disrupt the microbiome in your mouth, because we have a microbiome in our mouth. We don't want to disrupt the or kill the good bacteria in our mouth as well too, which even a natural toothpaste that has like tea tree oil in it or some of these harsh essential oils will also kill that bad bacteria. So I brush with Revitin. Then I go get filtered water. If I'm in the States, it's usually in a glass bottle, Mountain Valley spring water. And I will put some sea salt in there, some apple cider vinegar if I have in there, a teaspoon of that, a little bit of sea salt to mineralize and get some electrolytes in there. I'll drink a big cup of water. I'll take some supplements. Nothing crazy for supplements, but just some. And then I'll usually... You know, it could look different from day to day, but I always take my cold shower. So usually I'll take my cold shower after that. Then I'll usually read, although it doesn't happen every day. Right now I'm reading Patrick Bet-David's book, Your Next 5 Moves, unbelievable business book. I study. One thing I'm really doing this year is I'm studying people. Usually I'm studying people in the 0.1%. I'm studying Taylor Swift, even though I can't stand the girl, right? Because there's something to learn from her, right? I'll study Bill Gates, even though the guy's a fucking wacko and a psychopath. I'll study winners, okay? Because just because I don't agree with their agenda or their beliefs or their political views or whatever doesn't mean I can't learn from them. I'll study Arnold Schwarzenegger, right? Don't really agree with his politics these days, but the guy's a winner. You can't deny that. Donald Trump, I'm reading The Art of the Deal on audiobook right now. So I'll do that. And then I usually go to the gym and get my workout in. And then I do my most difficult task of the day, the most important, but often the most difficult and vulnerable task of the day. And I'll get that out of the way because I think that's your best time management productivity hack. Or it's different every day. It could be anything, man. It could be everything from firing someone came to mind. Not that I do that often, but firing someone came to mind because if I don't do that first thing in the day, it'll be on my mind and it'll weigh on me the entire day. I'd rather just get it out of the way. It could be a video that I have to shoot, right? And it's maybe for like a sponsor or something because that's what we're doing right now. And, you know, I'll get that out of the way. You know, whatever's just going to consume the most energy from me. I also don't like to like read contracts. So if I have to like read a contract or an agreement I'm going to sign or whatever, I'll get that out of the way in the morning. Because
I hate reading contracts.
Oh, fuck, I hate that, man.
But I
have to do it. I used to avoid it, and then it would bite me in the ass. You know, 2 years into a partnership, my lawyer would be like, oh, yeah, you didn't know there was this term in there? And I'm like, oh, fuck, no, because I didn't want to read it.
I know that way too well.
And I'll just bring this back around. I think people are getting, and I totally respect the fact that you have morning routine. Obviously, so do I. It sounds like more than it is. That doesn't take that long, okay? So, you know, some water, you know, Luminette while I'm doing the things and cold shower and then workout. And then I'm my most important task of the day, most difficult, most vulnerable, get that out of the way. And then I'm feeling really good. I just think that a lot of people are like, they're like, oh, I do my cold shower and then I do my daily gratitude and then I do my sauna and then I'm taking my supplements and then I'm like going out for a walk and then I'm like doing this and that. And it's like 3 hours before they're even getting into work, right? Mm-hmm. And people wonder why they're not where they want to be in their career or their business, right?
I agree and disagree with you.
Fair.
I agree with you in the sense that if your morning routine is not propelling you closer and closer to happiness, fuck money, right? Like money's not going to buy you happiness. And ultimately our goal as human beings, in my experience, in my life, in my perspective, is the more love you have in your life, the better an existence you will have.
I can't wait to talk about this. Keep going.
So I believe that. And that doesn't necessarily mean love towards another person, although it would be great. Doesn't mean that you have to like, you know, necessarily like love your parents or your siblings or your boss. But like if you're not loving your fucking self, if there's not a lot of love there, the chances of you being the best version of yourself and like being stoked to live, slimmer. So if your morning routine is ultimately distracting or derailing or deterring that mission on a daily basis, man, cut it loose, right? However, for a guy like me, I do have, and me getting through it these days has been really hard because I've been traveling a lot, I'm on the road a lot these days. However, the ideal morning routine that I have when I go through it step by step, and at this point, because I've been doing it for a long time, it's not a chore. It's like I've got the system. I know where I got to walk in the house, go into the, you know. If I get through it, man, I am actually so much further along in my success head that I wish I could do it every day.
Yeah.
I wish I could do it every day because I'm done with it typically by 6:30 in the morning, and there's a lot of fucking steps in there. That doesn't mean that when I don't get to do it, I'm not like ecstatic and stoked about life, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that there needs to be total flexibility. But what I always say, and I believe it to be true, if you try to build your day without a structure, without foundation, without a pouring of the concrete, in a sense, to make you feel well, do things that are adding to your wellness, right? Like everybody's like, oh, what is wellness? I'm like, oh, you do things that make you feel well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like in my mind, that's what it is. So if you're not doing that in the morning, the chances of you showing up as your best are slim. And I kind of correlate it to like, if you were to buy a piece of land, you buy a big patch of dirt. It's basically what you're buying. you're not going to go and just start building on the dirt. Chances are the rain comes, the mud forms. Slowly that structure is going to begin to dip in either one or all corners and then tumble when the wind gets strong enough. So you're going to pour that fucking concrete rock foundation and you're going to begin to build on that. And chances are that's going to stand the test of time, no matter how, you know, detrimental the weather is. And I kind of look at my day like that. Am I building on dirt or am I building on concrete? What am I building on?
Yeah, so I don't know that I disagree with anything that you said. I think that a lot of times people ask me how I define winning, because obviously it's in my name, Awaken Winning. And that's an interesting question. And over the years, I've had many different definitions of winning. But I think winning is, and I promise this will come back around to what you were saying, I think winning is, number one, the thing you have to do first before you win is you have to really clarify what you're optimizing for, okay? What are you optimizing for, okay? I'm optimizing for income, impact, energy, and this is in no particular order. Energy, love, and connection, and relationships and community. It's all kind of the same. People, you could say, and freedom. Okay. Those are what I'm optimizing for in my life. I'll say them again. Impact, income, love, care, love, relationships, community, freedom, and energy. Okay. Those are like my buckets that I want to fill every single day. When I fill those buckets, my life gets better. Okay. And I can expand on any of those if you want to know more details, but that's generally what I'm optimizing for. So to me, winning is owning your behavior of how you show up in this world. So you define who you want to be in this world, AKA, what are you optimizing for? Who do you want to be in this world? It's also important to clarify your values and principles. And once you've clarified who you want to be in this world and what you're optimizing for, then it's to own how you're showing up and it's to own your behavior. So I just think that the reason why you feel so strongly about your morning routine is because it's in alignment with what you're optimizing for. But I could tell you this, I could have no morning routine and I could sprinkle in everything I do in the morning throughout the day. And I don't think I would feel any different. I genuinely, and in fact, I know I wouldn't, because some days I do. Some days it's, you know, whether I sleep through my alarm or, I mean, I can't remember the last time I did that, but like, you know, some days it maybe I had a flight that came in the last night and I'm like, you know what, I'm going to sleep in an extra hour just to make sure I prioritize my sleep. Cause again, I'm optimizing for energy. So that's how I make my decisions, is like through the lens of who I want to be and what I'm optimizing for and my values and principles. And then you own how you show up. So for me, a morning routine just isn't as important as just like, you know, making sure that how I show up is optimizing, you know, ultimately, again, what I'm optimizing for.
Do you have a gauge on that for yourself? Like, are you able, like, I'm sure you, like every other human being on the planet, wakes up some days fucking pissed.
Yeah.
It's like on the wrong side of the bed.
Yeah.
Do you ever lean into that and say, hey, like, What is this? Why do I feel this way? I mean, you sound like you're a very self-aware human, right? So like, the question is, when you're in a shitty place, when you wake up in a bad place, do you have an understanding or do you not care to even look at it?
There's one of my favorite quotes that I actually recently heard that I've ever heard. It hit me so fucking hard when I heard it. It's that just because your feelings are valid doesn't mean they should dictate your behavior. Okay. So why I bring this up when you ask that question is because I think it's so incredibly important to be a conscious human being. And what that means is it means that you are able to observe what is coming up for you internally and what your responses are, what your triggers are, what your wounds are, what's your nervous system doing, what's your heart rate doing, right? How's your energy today? How did I just respond when they just said that thing? What were the stories that I was telling myself when they just said that thing? That to me is how you dictate your behavior. You know how I said that winning is owning your behavior after you've clarified it? Well, how do you own your behavior? It is literally by having the ability to observe what's going on internally, validate those feelings, meaning be there with them. Don't numb them by picking up the bottle. Don't run away from them. Don't try and stuff them under the rug. Be with them. Invite them to the party. Go through the emotional regulation that takes. But don't make your decisions on what you're going to do in this world based off of those emotions, okay? So it doesn't let you, you shouldn't let them dictate your behavior. So to wrap that up and bring that full circle, yes, I'm constantly being a thought and emotion detective. And that's why I tell my clients, be a thought and an emotion detective. Like, go internally and observe what's going on. Get curious. Like, why do I feel that way? Why am I telling myself that story? Where does that come from? But then you got to have the ability to emotionally regulate, to not let it dictate your behavior.
Do you think you can change your day anytime you want?
Define change your day.
Feeling like shit to feeling awesome.
Yeah. I think that in any moment we can say, now, bearing minimal exceptions, right? If you just get word that like your dad's in the hospital, you know, I think you just got to go through the human experience of, you know, having the capacity to be with that throughout the day, maybe clear your schedule and maybe just like, you know, do something that's going to bring you the most amount of joy and, or go see him or whatever. And you're probably not going to be happy in that moment. You're probably not going to want to make the decision to just be like, I'm just going to be happy through this. I'm just going to be positive, right? I think you always have to be optimistic, which is just different than positive. It means that you have hope for a better future. You believe in a better future, but that's besides the point. I would say that most cases, look at what we're unhappy about. Like I get, it's so ridiculous. Sometimes I'm in a bad mood and it's because it's from champagne problems. It's like this weekend, I got three flights that got delayed. I was in Kelowna in Canada and I was supposed to leave Saturday afternoon and I needed to be in Edmonton to leave for New York on Monday morning. My flight gets canceled as we were about to board. My flight gets canceled on the Saturday. They put me on a flight that comes home on the Monday and I'm like, I got to go to New York. Like and then it just proceeded to be the biggest nightmare. Did I lose my cool? Were my chakras aligned all weekend? No. They really weren't. And I did get frustrated. I got triggered. I maybe wasn't as kind to say, actually, no, you know what? I was okay in that regard. But actually, there was an agent that I wasn't as kind to, and that goes against my values. So that's inauthentic. That's not winning because it's not owning my behavior in alignment with what I'm optimizing for, or what my values and principles are. So I did make the decision though to just look at my situation and be like, oh, poor you. Like your fucking flight is delayed for the third time because you can't get to New York to do your podcast. That like nothing's going to happen if you don't do this podcast, right? Like it's okay. Not nothing's going to happen. I'm coming here for a reason. This is an opportunity. But you know what I mean? Like
totally.
Everything's going to be okay. So I just did that little reframe. And I think that's what you're asking. And I just made that choice to be like, fuck it. You know, like it's all good.
I think we put a lot of weight, for instance, this morning, you know, your podcast got pushed back an hour and a half or 2 hours, right?
Did it? I didn't even know.
It did. I get to the train. I now live in upstate New York. You know, you were touching on this, like, I don't think I need a place to go and chill. Like, that's what I did 4 years ago. So we moved 2.5 hours north. I get to the train at 8:47 and it's sad what happened, but the train struck somebody on the tracks just south of Albany.
Oh, shit.
And so the train got canceled and there was no ETAs on it. So I literally had to call. I canceled one podcast. I pushed all the other Actually, no, I think your podcast stayed the same. I pushed the one earlier back. Anyway, it was a whole thing. And I'm sitting here saying to myself, oh my God, I'm going to let these guys down. This sucks. And then I'm like, you know what, man? Life is throwing curveballs all the time. You can allow those curveballs to completely malfunction how you're going to walk through your day, or take it for what it is and do your best to fix the problem, right? And so I agree with you very much there. We're like,
sometimes the most powerful thing we can do is just shift our perspective. In fact, I would say most situations where you're faced with some sort of life adversity or challenge, the most powerful thing you can do is just shift your perspective. You know, it was funny. I was listening to Alex Hormozi. You know Alex Hormozi? He was talking about a time where he was walking with Layla, his wife, and this dude bumped into her. And he turned around and was like, watch where you're going, you skinny bitch. And her response was, he thinks I'm skinny. I thought that was so fucking interesting, man, because life is really about how you view it and perceive it. You know what I mean? And, you know, as soon as something happens that doesn't fit the bullshit picture in my head of the way I think that my life needs to be, I just go, what's the opportunity for growth? And that's a growth mindset. That's an abundance mindset. It's just like, what can I learn from this? This is here for me. It's not happening to me.
What I think through the years of sobriety for me, right? And I kind of bring it to sobriety because I don't think that I would have this perspective without sobriety. I lived a reactionary life for years. Something would happen. I wouldn't give it a second. I would just, boom, react. Somebody would say something, not even a thought, boom, just say exactly the first thought, right? What I learned is we rarely have control over that first thought. Somebody walks in the room, you don't like the way they look. Your first thought is, I don't like the way that person looks. So if I were to react on all of those first thoughts, man, I'd probably be in jail for a long time, right? Or like canceled or like hung up on, you know, whatever. Wouldn't be good. However, what I've learned over the years is that like the amount of time I've learned that my maturity as a human being is literally contingent on the amount of time I give myself between something that happens and how I respond.
Mm.
Like that truly is, and I'll give you a great example of that. And this has been something that's sort of helped me immensely through my life, and specifically as a father now, as a husband, but really as a business person or a creative in the world of business. Meatball Shop, we are 2.5 years in, business was crushing. We attracted this really, really like well-to-do legend in the world of restaurants in the United States of America. And he's now involved in Meatball Shop. He's on the board of Meatball Shop, and we're having this board meeting. And man, I was 31 years old. I thought I knew every fucking thing in the world. I needed my voice to be heard. I was not listening to what you had to say. I was just waiting to speak. It was all the bad shit, right? Sober, you know, married, and like a good person, but like I was so much to learn, and I still have an enormous amount to learn. This is about, you know, 11 years ago or so. And we're in this board meeting, and I'm fucking saying whatever I want, right? There's 5-6 people there. I should, you know. At the end of the board meeting, this guy, who I so aspired to be, you know, he had built a multi-billion-dollar restaurant business. He says, hey, man, can I take you out for a cup of coffee after the meeting? I'm like, yeah, of course. And in my mind, I'm like, oh, man, this dude, he's going to tell me how awesome I am. Like, I'm like, this is great. Like, this is awesome. And he sits down with me, and he goes, hey, can I be frank with you? And I was like, yeah, of course. I would love you to be frank with me. And he's like, I'm excited about where the business is. It's crushing. And you should be proud of yourself. He's like, but you got to do me a favor. I was like, of course, anything. He's like, you got to shut the fuck up. You have to shut the fuck up.
Best advice ever.
You got to shut your fucking mouth.
Yeah.
Every time you open your mouth, you got to listen. You do not listen to – you didn't hear a word of anything that happened in that room today because you did not shut up. All you had to say something about nothing. And, man, that smacked the most powerful sense into me in all areas of my life. It gave me perspective on this idea that I can, but I don't need to share my opinion. If it's true – and I'm in a leadership position in a company, hopefully my beliefs are being portrayed through the actions I take, not what I fucking say out of my mouth, right? Mm. And man, has that helped me so much.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, people of all ages, Michael Chernow here, founder of Creatures of Habit and the host of this very dear podcast. Nightcap is a sleep support elixir. It is delicious. It is like a cup of hot chocolate when you were a child. It is made of zero THC, CBD, L-theanine, GABA, magnesium, reishi mushroom, ashwagandha, a little lion's mane, so you wake up chipper. It's also got chamomile flower extract. It is the bomb. All the ingredients have been scientifically studied to help you relax, fall, and stay asleep. To learn more about it, hop over to creaturesofhabit.com and hit the sleep tab in the nav bar to learn more. I'm so, so, so excited for you guys to try Nightcap. It is the bomb.
I am giving a 20% discount on your first order or your first subscription order, which is a serious discount. And use promo code KOHPOD, the number 20, for your first order. Back to the pod.
Have you read Man's Search for Meaning?
I have been meaning to read Man's Search for Meaning.
Okay. So there's a quote that exemplifies exactly what you're saying. And it's by Viktor Frankl, the author of the book. between stimulus and response, there is a space. In that space lies your ability to respond. And in that response lies your growth and your freedom. I mean, that just hits exactly what you're saying. Pause. That's what I'm talking about being a thought detective and emotion detective. Is like, man, people who win, again, they understand that their feelings are valid. It was a human experience for me to go through those three canceled flights and get home at 11 p.m. before I'd even packed and have to leave at 5 a.m. the next day for New York and travel through three time zones and got work and everything. It was a human experience for me to be angry, frustrated, whatever. I was with those, but I did a good job. I always can do better, and I'm always striving to do better, but I did a good job at not letting them dictate my behavior, because before I would have smoked weed, I would have drank, I would have ate. As silly as that sounds, even something like that, I would have needed to have an external coping mechanism to be able to regulate through all of that. And it was just because I was doing it unconsciously. You know what you said when you're like, my first thought that comes to my mind when someone walks in a room or some whatever, that's just a subconscious thought, right? We're all automatic computer-like programs 90 to 95% of the time. The power is in being able to pause and create that space. Like Viktor Frankl was talking about, as soon as you observe it, now you're not the thought, you're the observer of the thought. And in that space lies your ability to respond, and in that response lies your growth and your freedom.
You know, I listened to probably the first quarter of that book, and
it's rough.
I remember being, because my business partner, who's actually coming in for a podcast later on, he is like a massive believer in that book as a life guide, right? And I remember listening to that. I probably listening to it 6 months ago. It was so hard for me to listen to the first quarter of that book that I literally felt like I had to put it down for a little while because of how intense that guy's life was for years, right? Like just in absolute, just terrible. The learnings that I think anyone can get from a man like Viktor Frankl are just, you know, paramount, right? Just astronomical, what that guy had to endure, and then to come out of it and be like any semblance of sane. So I think that is really, that has been my sort of barometer in checking my ability to progress on a daily basis. How much time am I giving myself between an action and a response? And sometimes I don't even respond. That's my response.
Yeah.
You know, and it's been so gratifying.
Yeah.
To know that like I used to hear about like the Zen Buddhist man, of the Zen Buddhist, you know, businessman, right? Like one that just even keel all the time, never gets angry, never gets really
stoic,
available, right? Like when someone's emotional based on a action, they're not really available, right? Like people are scared, you know? And I have nothing wrong with crying or being emotional in that sense. But when it comes to the actions that you take based on a situation, I think, you know, that is, So are there any habits that you implement on a regular basis that you would say have been helpful in your business life or your just day-to-day operations of life?
Yeah, I would say one of the things I've been doing lately is a daily reflection. And I have not done this enough. So one of the most powerful exercises I've ever done, or, you know, one of the most powerful exercises is a schedule audit. Okay. So I talked about how winning is about clarifying who you want to be in this world. What are your values? What are you optimizing for? And then owning your behavior and making sure it's in alignment with those things. When you do a schedule audit and you actually see on paper where you're investing your time, your energy, where you're putting your focus, where you're investing your money, it is a wake-up call for a lot of people, right? To be able to see that and then compare it to, okay, well, like I'm spending fucking 3 hours and 15 minutes on Instagram today, right? So it's like, is that optimized? Like, is that in alignment with what could I be doing? Because I could probably cut that down to 30 minutes. I mean, I could cut it down to zero, but I'm not saying I have done this, but I'm definitely not on Instagram 3 hours a day, although I'm sure some people think I am, but I actually consume very little content and I mostly produce content. But when you look at something like that, or you're like, wait, I'm going to the grocery store and I am, you know, going to the grocery store every other day, which it's a 17 minute drive, and times that by two every other day, you add it up and maybe you're like, man, that's 2 hours and 45 minutes in my week. Like I could just go once a week and I would have an extra 2 hours in my week, right? What could I do with that 2 hours, right? What could I invest my energy and my focus into? So I think for me, doing that schedule audit is really powerful, but I've been starting to just turn it into like a daily reflection. And before I go to bed, just like really asking myself, how did I show up in this world today? What did I invest my time, energy, and money into? And is it in alignment with where I want to be and who I want to be in this world? And I think that we just so often do not take the time to reflect on that. And we have so many blind, you know what that's taught me? We have so many fucking blind spots. Because we're like basically computer-like automatic patterns and programs 90 to 95% of the time, and I'm referring to our subconscious mind, our thoughts, actions, ideas, and emotions, or the vast majority are subconscious. We actually are asleep for most of our day. So we don't even realize until we see it on paper or we reflect, we don't realize where our time, energy, and money is going and our decisions.
The introduction of it's really, you know, it's so social media is a real thing. I need social media in my life to succeed for business. You need it as well. Like it's the way people are connecting right now. But isn't it so interesting that the number one excuse for most people for not taking action in their life is not enough time?
Yeah.
The number one.
Complete bullshit, man.
The number one. Yet every billions of human beings have figured out how to make, I think the average human that is on social media, which is like 50% of the humans on the planet, if not more, the average amount of time is over 2 hours a day. And some people are on for like 9 hours. Like literally they don't fucking turn it off, right?
So and people, that's not including Netflix. That's not including other things that we do.
Right? And by the way, I also, like I am a culprit. Yeah, I catch myself 100%. And I'm like, dude, you've just got caught in the hole, bro. Yeah. Like, what are you doing? So, you know, so I love the self-reflection. What I do most nights with my kids and my wife when we have dinner, because non-negotiable for me is if I'm not traveling at 6 o'clock, I am at the dinner table with my family as present as I possibly can be. Yeah. But we do rosebud, thorn, and seed every night. And so that's it's a truncated version of a daily self-reflection, but it's basically like all of us go around and we say, one thing that we did that was awesome today.
Rosie.
One thing that we did that one thing that happened that wasn't awesome. Something that we did that was seed is something that we did to be of service. And then the bud is something that we're looking forward to. Mm. And, you know, we all go around and do it. And like a lot of the times my kids are like, I don't know. And I'm like, no, dude, just take 2 minutes. Yeah. Because it's so interesting that our days go by and very few of us, small percentage, actually stop and say, wait a second, that happened today? That really happened today. Like, whoa, wait, I didn't do, like, that shit happened and I didn't really do anything. Like, I didn't stop and smell it and appreciate it and be in it. And so I love that habit of doing that. Do you have an evening routine that you stick to? Like, do you have like a wind down routine at all?
No, not really. First off, I definitely need more structure on the reflection. You know, it's a newer task. So I like the rose, thorn, bud, and seed. That's really,
easy,
really
man.
Cool. Really, really cool. So I need more structure. And then once I create some structure around it, I'll probably talk about it on my podcast and teach it to my clients and whatnot, or recommend that my clients give it a shot and see if it serves them. That's usually how it works. But yeah, that's the only thing that I have right now, honestly. I will do something if it serves me, okay? And this is where we're all different. Like some people need a nighttime routine and it will serve them. I've tried a nighttime routine because I thought that I needed it. How can I be a life coach and not have a nighttime routine? It's like, no, I fucking eat my food. I make sure it's 3 hours before bedtime so that I'm not digesting food while I sleep. And I'll read sometimes. I'll listen to a podcast while I cook. I cook every single meal that I eat at night, like unless I'm going out for dinner, which is actually honestly rare. But I'll cook, I'll listen to a podcast or an audiobook. And then I'll eat. I'll make sure it's 3 hours before bedtime with my San Pellegrino. I love my San Pellegrino. It's like a treat at the end of the day. And then I'll usually sometimes read, like I said, and sometimes I'll watch, most times I'll watch some Netflix or I'll watch whatever. And I try and make it something that I'll learn from. Like, for example, The Last Dance, you know, the Michael Jordan documentary. Like,
great.
Dude, I've watched that numerous times. I study that, right? And I've recently been watching a documentary on Hitler. I'm like fascinated with World War II right now and like doing, you know, reading and studying that. And then, not that I'm studying Hitler for his, you know what I mean?
I know what you mean. By the way, like.
And then I go to bed, bro. Like I tape my mouth. I put my sleep mask on and then I go to bed.
There you fucking see, you know what this is actually very interesting. So you said that you didn't really have a morning routine, like it wasn't your thing, but then you walked through your morning routine
and I do have a morning routine.
You do have, but you just said you don't have an evening routine and you literally just walked through probably more stuff than 99% of the population do.
Yeah.
You eat 3 hours before you go to bed, you sometimes read, you watch something that's potentially, you know, going to increase your intelligence.
I try to. I want to be authentic here. Sometimes it's Love is Blind or some shit like that.
By the way,
right?
I just want to mention a show that I've been watching that has been really good. Like, I feel like it could arguably be up there in the, like, I'm getting the feeling of, like Game of Thrones.
Oh, okay.
Breaking Bad, like, beginning to feel. And it's a new show on Apple TV called Silo. Fucking.
Oh, I'm. Dude. Such a good recommend. Well, I just need a recommendation.
It's so good.
Yeah.
We're not binging like we used to. Like, if we'd find a show that we hadn't seen, we'd be like, brah.
Yeah.
We get one episode in.
Nice.
But it's so good.
And what's it about?
It is sci-fi. Okay. And it's basically a 150 story silo underground that 10,000 people live in. Nobody knows how they got there. The outside, nobody can go outside. The outside is poisoned.
Hot lava, basically.
Yeah, hot lava. And there's one camera that sort of shows. Anyway.
That's fucking cool.
It's fucking cool. And like anything from the past, which is like the time that we're living in now, is considered a relic. And you get persecuted for having relics. So it's I'm only like 4 or 5 episodes in, but it's like that feeling of like at first I was like and then I was like this. I got the same feeling with Breaking Bad.
Breaking
I was
Bad.
Like, I don't know, teachers, cooking
turns,
crystal
turns
meth.
Turns out to be the best show of all time.
Oh, dude, it's a great show. I highly recommend. Highly recommend. Any books that you can share with us that you love? Any books that have helped shape your?
Two things before I get into that. The morning routine thing, like the nighttime routine thing, I just, when you say, do you have a nighttime routine? To me, my brain goes well thought out, like fucking, you know, like after 15 minutes, I do this and that. By the way, I do meditate on a regular basis. I do transcendental meditation, but that's usually, sometimes it's in the morning, sometimes it's throughout the day, never before I go to bed. But yeah, I just mean like, I don't think about, that's what I want to do. I don't feel the need and I'm certainly not going to succumb to the pressure of like, you got to have a well, you know, dynamic, you know, like.
I just want to say, because I know that, you know, I bet you, potentially 3 years ago, your answer would be a little bit different, right? And maybe you were living in that believe to know place more than you are now.
And one of the things I wanted to point out is I would ask you, if you were broke and you hadn't done anything in your career, like barely anything, let's say you were like, not to insult anyone, but like, let's say you were like a struggling insurance salesman for a long time. And then you're like, fuck, I want to get my life together. Let's say you were like mid 30s or something. You know, I want to get my life together. I don't even have enough. I got $400 to my name. Like, would you still have like the extensive kind of morning routine that you have? Like, would it serve you in a different way? Because I almost wonder, like, again, it's all to do with what you're optimizing for. But for me, what I would tell that person is I would say, do whatever you need to do in the most efficient amount of time to put yourself in a beautiful state, and then get to fucking work, because your basic needs aren't met right now.
And see, so I think to just answer your question, because it's a good one and it's very relevant for me, not for everyone, of course, right? We're all individual. But the reason why morning routine has been so important for me is when I got sober, I was introduced to a guy who taught me this morning routine. At that time, it was get out of bed, go into the bathroom, take a piss, wash my face, brush my teeth, and put on my contact lenses, drop down on the floor and pray, do some push-ups, go out for a walk or a run, and have oatmeal, and then get on with your day. And that was like the six things, really. And there was more throughout the day as I continued to work with this guy. But what I learned about that for me was that this structure component, I can draw a direct line to my success in staying sober, because I needed, and this is fucking for me, right? And I think this is the point that I wanted to make too, is this idea that, like, yo, you do not need to do shit that does not make you feel good.
100%.
And however, don't let anybody that you hear on social media, like, don't let them, you know, their views of, oh God, the fucking 45 thing morning routine deter you from doing something that you love to do, right? Yeah. Like, there's it, you know, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, it was all morning, it was all sauna, cold, meditate, red light, read, write.
Not everyone has time for that shit, man.
But what I'm saying is that, like, by the way, like, I have, and I think that this is like a privilege,
yeah,
but I have created a life
100%
that gives me ability to do it. And when I get through all those fucking things, because they all genuinely make me feel good, and I finish and I got, you know, I walk into my house with a towel on, and man, I feel like a 12-year-old kid. Sometimes 100%. I flap my balls. You know what I mean? Like, I'm feeling alive.
You do the helicopter too? No, we won't get into that.
But like, dude, that's what, I'm there for my family. I just did like fucking 30 things, and I'm just like, wow, I'm fucking stoked. And so if that's you and you're like me, don't let anybody derail you. However, if that shit is actually stressing you out and you feel like you gotta do it, and if you don't do it, you're not gonna have a great day, then you're doing the wrong shit.
Or I'm gonna say something that a lot of people will reject, but or if you're broke, and by the way, I don't just mean financially, I mean in like you're just broke, you're not living, you're not getting out of life what is just the bare minimum to just, you know, get your needs met, because we got to acknowledge that most people are there. And I think that the problem that I have, and maybe why I'm so like adamant about, like, not, I don't, wouldn't say I'm like pushing back on you, because you haven't really said
this
anything.
This is great combo.
And I haven't really heard anything I disagree with. I just think that there's a lot of influencers or business people who have made it in the business world turn guru, turn influencer. And they're talking about their 3-hour morning routine to people who are struggling to just like pay their rent.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, no, like you shouldn't be doing a 3-hour morning routine like you just mentioned.
I think actually more people now though are actually delivering your message,
yeah,
which is, yo, no.
Some people, depends who you're listening to.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like I would say in the health world, the biohacking world or whatever, it's about the long, you know, morning routines and stuff. And look, I don't want to come across like I'm so anti-morning routine. I have one. I do the cold shower because that serves me. But I genuinely am not doing the cold shower because everyone's telling you to fucking do a cold shower. I'm not. I've taken the time to do both, and it actually does serve me. Okay. I wouldn't go to the gym if it didn't serve me. Like, I'm doing everything because it serves me, not because someone told me or not because the masses are conditioning me to believe that that's success, because I just don't think that really is. And you said something though that I do want to push back on, and I have a feeling we'll probably end up agreeing, but you said you don't have to do anything that doesn't make you feel good. So if I can be picky on that verbiage, you know, I think you do have to do things that don't make you feel good. And I think that's why a lot of people lose. Okay. And the reason being is because if you want to accomplish anything, it doesn't feel good. You think a fucking cold shower every morning feels good, right? So we live in a delayed return environment. Most of human history has been an immediate return, right? You killed an animal, you have food for your family. You started a fire, your family was warm. You get that immediate return. Now in our environment, by the way, we're still wired that way. We want the immediate return. But in today's environment, we get delayed returns. What are the things that bring you the most?
Yeah, but so I think what you're saying is that doing hard things ultimately generates mental toughness that serves you long term.
Most weeks, I have to do things that are sprinkled throughout my week that do not make me feel good.
Okay, let me ask you a question on that. Do you wake up inspired to work, to do what you do?
I'm so picky with words, so like you'd have to define inspired. Okay,
are you rearing to go and uncover and lift up rocks every day?
No.
You're not?
No.
Okay.
I don't think anyone is. I don't know anyone like that, right?
I mean, I feel like if you're not excited to do what you do on a regular basis, you've got to rethink what you're doing.
So motivation to me is essentially that you feel like doing something, right? So I would be lying, and I don't know, unless you're a fucking alien, I thought everyone was this way, whereas like we don't always feel motivated to take the cold shower, to go to the gym, to fire the person when you're a business leader, to have that difficult conversation with your spouse, to, you know, when your kids are running around and like, stop pulling your sister's hair. And, you know, like my point is not only do I not feel like doing, do I wake up excited? Like, dude, I'm on a fucking mission, man. I'm relentless. Like I am about as I think excited to execute my mission as possible. And by the way, I have numerous missions to be excellent, to exemplify excellence in this world. But do I always feel like doing everything I have to do to get there? Fuck no, man. And not only that, but I think winners acknowledge all the time that they don't need to feel like doing something. That's where the key is. Again, your feelings are valid. Doesn't mean they should dictate your behavior. So you don't have to feel like doing something to do it. You don't even have to feel confident to do a podcast. Man, I've been in situations like this where I was shitting my pants before. I didn't feel good. I wanted to run. I wanted to drink before the interview. Not even kidding. Never did, because I didn't let my feelings dictate my behavior.
I hear what you're saying. I think what I'm trying to allude to is not about the specific task or action. What I'm really asking, and I can only sort of think about it, you know, and it's so funny. I was reading this book about like not projecting your mind, your like people can't read your fucking mind, dude. So you got to be very clear. The journey for me is the best part of the fucking pie, dude.
Yeah.
Like I am so excited every day.
There is no destination. Let me get philosophical on you. I don't think there is a destination.
Well, I mean, you end up in a coffin, right? Or like in dust. But like that is ultimately...
I don't think that's the end of the journey. I hope it's not. Fuck.
That's another podcast. Yeah, but I what I'm saying is that I literally do, no matter how hard it gets, no matter all the shit that I've got, you know, in front of me for the day, I actually do. And maybe I'm a weird one. Maybe I'm an oddball. I
never have to do things you don't feel like doing.
Every day.
Yeah, so that's
morning,
all I'm saying.
I was sitting in my sauna looking at the cold plunge.
Yeah, so you're talking like more... At a higher level, I'm talking about specifics.
Granular.
Yeah,
you're granular. Yeah. I'm talking about, I literally do wake up every day excited to charge. I do. And that could be, and there's definitely days where I feel my emotional state is fucked and I have to get right sized. And, you know, sometimes the morning shit or the workout will change that. Sometimes it won't.
Yeah.
That's why I asked you earlier in the podcast, do you feel like you can change your day at any time?
So here's what I have to say about that. I'd actually really love to know your opinion on this, or your experience, I should say, on this. I think that one of the things I fundamentally reject in like our space, let's call it, like the like personal development world, for lack of a better term, is that people... project that this is, it's all love and light.
Hell no. It's fucking shitty.
It is. And here's the thing though. When I was building my company and getting my life together, whether it was, you know, quitting drinking all the time and being dependent on things like weed and porn and drugs, sex and rock and roll, essentially, and then building my business and then solidifying myself and growing and healing my wounds and my nervous system and my hormones and my health and getting into the gym and getting in shape, like all of those things, I was not excited about it. Like waking up every morning, I dreaded it for like, I would say probably a few years, maybe not every morning. It was somewhere up and down, but like for the most part, I dreaded it, man. But I remained committed to, I know what I'm doing this for. So my point is like, it's not all fucking sunshine and rainbows. It's going to be difficult. But the fact of the reality is you don't have to feel like doing it in order to do it. Now, look, I'm in a good position. I'm nowhere near where I want to be. I'm thinking fucking big. I'm nowhere near where I want to be. And I know that I still have a long ways to go. I'm not saying I have it all figured out, but I have a pretty good life. I really do. And I've earned it. Like I've put blood, sweat, and tears into it. And now I feel more like you. It's like I wake up, I'm fucking stoked because my life is pretty sweet considering. Didn't feel that way on the come up though. I don't know what your experience was. Like it was shitty, man, because nothing's really going for you. You're barely making payroll. You're this, that, and the other thing.
Yeah, I think, yes, there's no doubt. I mean, specifically when I was deep in the throes of addiction, right? Like I don't even know if I was waking up, right? Like I think I was like the walking dead most of the time. So there was never a moment of like that I can recall where it was like, right. Oh, I'm up now. But getting out of that and going into recovery and then experiencing how to like change my life, yes, it was hard as hell. And you know, there was a saying that someone, this woman that I really sort of loved as a human being, and she was like this bright person. She used to always say, "Honey, it's not tiptoeing in the tulips." And I used to say, "Yeah, you know, it's not tiptoeing in the tulips." That said, like you, I've put in a fucking lot of work, and you know, you and I. And everybody else walking on the street in Times Square and around the world has gotten through everything in their life so far. Everything. Has gotten through everything in their life so far. Imagine that, right? How crazy is that? You're in it. It sucks. It's hurt. It's painful. You don't think you're going to get through it. Yet every human being that is walking the planet right now so far has gotten through everything in their life. And, you know, there's definitely people that are suffering more than others. I guess what I'm saying is that through the work that I've done on myself and the hours of you know, commitment that I've had towards being a best version, I do wake up, and I have for a long time, with an overly optimistic outlook on life.
I think optimism is so important.
Yeah, even if it's going really bad.
But there's a difference between positive and optimism, right? Positivity and optimism. Positivity would be like, I'm positive. This is okay. This is all good. Optimism is the belief that the future will be better. So I think for me, my message is, and I feel like we're getting really fucking soft, and it's because a lot of influencers, a lot of people are looking up to in the personal growth world is they're portraying like you should feel good. It's all sunshine and rainbows. It's all good, this, that, and the other thing. It's love and light and make sure your chakras are aligned or whatever. And I'm like, yo, like if you're not where you are, if you're in full-blown crisis mode or you're stuck or anywhere in between, you getting out of that, like again, I don't disagree with anything you're saying. It's just my message is rather like, it's gonna suck and that's okay. Just remember why you're doing it and keep fucking going. Mm-hmm. If you're going through hell, keep going. That is maybe more so my message because I see, and maybe it's because I take on clients and my clients are unbelievable, but just like when we talk to people in the beginning, they are so attached. They as in I was one of them, so there's no shame or judgment in this, but we're so attached as a society to like do what feels good. If it feels good, that's the right direction. It's like, if I only did what felt good in the moment, I would have lost. What I did was I made decisions based off my long-term values and commitments, whether they felt good or not. And then I won.
Yeah, I hear you. And I think I'm speaking, I think when I'm like, I'm trying
to. Yeah, I'm more granular for sure.
But also, like, when you talk about, let's just use an example like the cold, right? No one. I know a lot of people that do cold. I don't know anyone who's like, dude, I fucking love going in there. Like, I love a cold shower. I love sitting in the cold water.
It's
like,
the getting out that's the best part.
The best. So when you ask me, like when I'm thinking, does it make me feel good? I'm like, dude, there's very few things that I can do physically in 5 minutes or less that generate, at this stage in my life where I'm not using drugs, I'm not drinking alcohol.
Yeah, I was going to say drugs.
You know, like, very few things where I could feel the way I feel after stepping out of a 38 degree body of water for 5 minutes. Like, that is true reward, right? Like, I'm like, oh my God, I'm alive. You know, like, holy shit. And so do I think that everybody has access to that? Well, if you have access to a shower, probably yes. So like, there are things that we can all do when the shit, you know, this podcast is an extension of the brand, my company, Creatures of Habit. We're 2.5-year-old business. It has been fucking hard, dude. Hard. Like, numerous times over the last 18 months did we think that it was going to – we were that's it. Like, Jonathan and I are like, oh, my God, dude. If we don't figure this out now, like, there's a shot that we're going to have to fucking put this thing in a bag. And that is so hard. It's so hard. However – somehow, I have been able to put things in my day that do give me these little pops of like, man, it's okay, dude. If it was easy, everyone would do it. And life is hard. It's harder than it is easy. And every single winner that you know has lost way more times. And every single winner that you know also just did it one more time after they lost the last time.
Yeah. You know how we talked about, I agree with everything you said. You know how we talked about the shift in perspective? That's really what it is. I think that highly successful people, not just in business, but just in general, have the ability and capacity to handle stress that would cripple most people. And I think all they have the ability to do is just shift their perspective, right? It's like, oh, this is happening for me, not to me. What's the opportunity for growth? Like, this will make me better. But not only that, to put it in a perspective of like, I'm not going to be worried about this in a month or a week or even tomorrow, right? And it's just to put that into perspective. But I think that it's micro and macro. So I think that you have to overall at a high level, you have to just understand that like good things, good, bad, and ugly happen. You're going to get the whole gamut. And it's to just be able to like keep moving forward despite what happens to you, be able to validate and acknowledge and be there with your feelings and don't push them away or stuff them under the rug or try and numb them. But just look at how am I responding to this? And that takes pause, like you said, and pause and ask, what would my future self do? You know, what would my future self you know, what would be the decision that they make? Because the future self has perspective on your life. What would they do if you were reflecting back on your life at 90 years old? What advice would they tell you in this moment? And usually because they have perspective, it would be like, relax, everything's going to be okay. Okay, just keep your head on straight and keep going. And when times get really adverse and there's a lot of challenges, I just always think this is where most people quit and this is why most people don't win.
Honestly, dude, I think that's the perfect place to wrap this thing up. That was a really good way to wrap this. This was such a fun combo. I could probably sit here and talk to you for hours and hours. I think that you and I have very, very similar ideals and probably values are very similar. Life is hard, man. Life is hard. And if you can walk through it with a smile, it's not like it's going to be less hard. But if you can walk through it with a smile, with an understanding that like, I love, you know, that you said, man, most people quit when the going gets tough, right? When the water starts to get up to your fucking, your bottom lip, most people, you know, ask for the float, whatever, the life raft.
Yeah.
And all you got to do is fucking swim harder.
And I actually am of the belief that you can't fail unless you quit, right? If you look at it at a high level, whatever your mission is, like, yeah, and sure, you could die, you could get hit by a bus, but I still don't think that's the end of the journey. At least I hope it's not, like I said before. So,
Kayla, where can the audience find you?
Yeah, I would say there's a few things I could throw out, but I think I'll stick to just my Instagram, the Kayler Betts. That's Taylor with a K. BETTS. Yeah, you can find me on there. I'm most active on there. And if you want to tune into my podcast, it's Awaken Winning on all the platforms and stuff. But yeah, you'll be able to see on my Instagram like all the things that we offer and all the stuff that you might want to check out and or just watch my videos or not. Whatever. It's all good.
Dude, I'm stoked to send you to a couple of great restaurants in New York.
I can't wait.
I'm gonna send you some restaurants and I'm gonna point you in the direction for the places that you should go. Potentially not the places that people have told you to go.
Yeah, because I have to impress my mom. I got her, this is her Christmas present, to come out here to New York, and she loves New York. So I gotta like find some stuff to get into.
My dude.
My man.
Creatures community, we smashed that episode. I feel fire. I feel the fire right now sitting in the seat. Like I'm bummed that we got to cut this one because I probably could have gone for longer for sure. Kayler's the man. Definitely check out his content. It was really awesome. I was also a guest on his podcast, and that was great to that was awesome for me to do, and I was stoked about that. So I know there's a lot of value in this one. It would mean the world to me, truly the world. Well, maybe not the world, but it would be awesome if you gave this episode a 5-star rating and a review. Write a review. Don't write a shitty review. If you want to write a shitty review, just DM me and tell me I suck, and I will connect with you and we'll have a great conversation because I love that feedback as well. Just don't fucking write a shitty review. That's not fun for me.
And there you have it, folks. I hope we delivered some valuable content for you to implement into your life on a daily basis. Please remember that our habits have the power to make us or break us. Replacing bad habits with great ones is the answer to living a life of happiness, optimism, and high performance. We are capable of achieving anything. We all have what it takes to give it all we've got. Commit to one great habit each day and truly commit and watch how everything in your life starts evolving from good to great. If you enjoyed this podcast, please follow us wherever you listen to your podcast. Give us a 5-star rating and a nice review that will help us grow this podcast, bring on more amazing guests, and continue to deliver invaluable content on a weekly basis. Lastly, please share this podcast with any friends or family that you think might appreciate it. And always remember, want plus do equals have. Until the next one, fam, peace.